Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Hearing checks, your knower, your own spirit. If I can draw your attention to that one verse, Proverbs 20:27, that says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all of the inward parts of the belly. I'm going to throw that phrase on the screens for you, and it's just the spirit of man. I'm just going to start my presentation just saying the spirit of man. It's very interesting. Spirit of man, man's spirit. The woman's spirit, your own spirit. It's something that we almost don't talk about it a lot until it's a funeral, until someone passes, until someone dies. I went to a funeral just this past weekend, and powerful man of God. Great, great leader, great, great deacon, someone who served my bishop. His name was Holloway Gray Jr., powerful deacon Holloway Gray Jr. I was at that funeral, and it's interesting when you've been to one, when you're getting older, when you are, if God forbid something happens to your body and you start thinking about, I shall wear a crown. My point that I'm making today is your own human spirit. It's the kind of thing we don't talk about as much. We talk about it around death. We talk about it. We start to say, yeah, this is not the real you. This is the suit that you wear. This is not the real me. This is the house that I live in. If this house that we live in is destroyed, we have another house in the heavens not made by human hands, that we have a tendency to talk about the groaning to be clothed and unclothed, and that the mortal must put on, take off him immortality, and all of that death may be swallowed up in life, and death, where's your sting? And grave, where is your victory? That's when we have a tendency to really, really think about your own human spirit. That's when we talk about it the most at this point. And it's something that I'm trying to help us with. It's something the Holy Ghost has laid on my heart. I'm trying to right a wrong that has taken place in which we really only talk about the human spirit when we're talking about death. When someone passes, that's when we remember that death is a door. That this flesh is not the real you, it's not the real me. That this is the suit we wear. This is the avatar, like that movie Avatar. It's that God sent you, and the real you is a spirit being. For a minute, I just want you to think about that. I know I talked about it last Sunday. I think the last couple of Sundays I've been kind of alluding to it and talking about it directly. But I want you to think about it for just a minute. The real you. When you get up in the morning and you're about to go somewhere, you look at yourself, you look at your shirt, your clothes, you look at your hair, you look at your flesh, but that's not the real you. We do a lot of flesh examination. Men, we notice a lot of flesh. Oh, I need a witness in me. Men, we notice a lot of flesh. We notice flesh when it's coming and going. We notice flesh when it's walking towards us. We notice it ain't nothing but the Holy Ghost that halfway keep us from noticing flesh as it walks away. And gentlemen, if we honest, we do notice flesh when it walks away. Oh, I wish I had a witness. We notice flesh. We know, you know who else notices flesh? Women notice flesh. Women are watching you notice flesh because they see the flesh as it's coming towards. They know we are all very aware of the flesh. And I want us to stop for a second and realize that a part of the aim of this moment, your Sunday moment, your Holy Ghost moment, your challenge moment, your pain moment, your somebody confronting you moment. I've been having some hard conversations with people lately, men and women. I had a hard conversation with a woman this past week in a counseling session in which I basically held up a mirror for her to see her own spirit. She was very bothered by it because her flesh is cute. But I don't care how cute your flesh is if your spirit is jacked up. Plus, I'm old. You're not going to move me with your little cute flesh if you got a trashy spirit. Was not happy about the fact that I had the nerve to confront her about her garbage spirit. Young man came to meet with me, sat down, didn't last long because I just held up the mirror for him to take a look at his own human spirit. I know I said some tough things last Sunday. I'm saying some tough things today. Help us, Holy Ghost. I said last Sunday, and I'm going to say it again, and I'll throw it on the screens for you. Most of us, I want to say many of us, but I almost want to say most of us were taught Holy Spirit over human spirit. I threw it on the screens. Holy Spirit over human spirit. We were taught to seek the baptism of the Holy Ghost so much, especially with the evidence of speaking in tongues and the evidence of supernatural power. We so emphasized the gifts that we left people filled with the Holy Ghost and walking in gifts of the Spirit, and their own spirit was wrecked. We had people with spiritual gifts without spiritual fruit. We had people with a heavenly language who don't speak to folk in the earth. We had people who love church but don't love the people in the church. I said it last Sunday, and I'm saying it again, and I'm saying it in a more formal way. I'm throwing it on the screens, that the point of connection is not replacement. The point of connection is not replacement. You're not here, you're not tuning in to get the Holy Spirit to replace your human spirit. You are not supposed to be taught to be so focused on the Holy Ghost that you are not aware of your own ghost. You are not supposed to learn so much about tongues that you never learned how to work on your own real you. Point of connection is not replacement. Many of us were just taught, well, you just need to get the Holy Ghost. Well, their problem is they just need the Holy Ghost. So what you need to do is go over here and tarry till you get the Holy Ghost. So what you need to do is you need to get the Holy Ghost. And what's the Holy Ghost? When the Holy Ghost comes, and we are looking for Pentecost and looking for, and listen, I'm all about the Holy Ghost and I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, but being filled with the Holy Ghost does not mean you get to be lazy and not work on your human ghost. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, the point of that connection is not replacement. Hey, the point of the connection is empowerment, spiritual empowerment. The point of the connection is empowerment, spiritual empowerment. When I say spiritual empowerment, I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is a part of the Trinity and he's a part of the Godhead. And the Holy Spirit has all power. When Jesus said, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he didn't mean because you're going to have the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit has power. He means that when the Holy Ghost gets on you, when you get a real connection to the Holy Spirit, he will empower your spirit man. So now that the spirit of the man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the innermost parts of the belly. Meaning that the Lord comes and says, all right, I'm about to empower you, and what I'm going to use to empower you is your spirit. I'm going to make your spirit come alive. And if the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he'll quicken your mortal body. If I get you connected, and if I get that connection and get that empowerment going, then the Holy Ghost will work on your spirit. The challenge of the Holy Ghost working on your spirit is, it's going to take work. It's going to take work. I gave an analogy last Sunday. I'll give it again. It was just when your car dies and we get the jumper cables and we connect the jumper cables to your battery from my battery. My battery is working. Yours is not. We don't connect the cables to your engine. We connect the cables to your battery. That's the analogy I've received from the Holy Spirit. When God decides to empower you with his spirit, he connects his spirit with your spirit to charge your spirit, to jumpstart your spirit. But I don't know if you've ever gotten a jump. If things are right, oh, help us. If things are right, then a jump's enough. And now you got your own thing going on, and your engine is working, and now your alternator, the alternator of the word, my God, is keeping you empowered. I don't know if you've ever gotten a jump and then went to the mall and went inside and came back out and needed another jump. That means that something's wrong with your battery. That means your alternator is not working. That means there's something missing. The point that I was making, and I'm making it even now, is that we made a mistake. We have to realize God is too big to miss. We got caught up in spiritual hubris and Holy Ghost hubris and had the Holy Ghost talking to us about stuff that was quite trivial. Folks have sat down with me and said, well, I don't want to miss God. And I said, what are you talking about, miss God? God is too big to miss. My best friend said that to me. God is too big to miss. I said, Pastor Chris, you are dead on. God is too big to miss. If God wants your attention, he'll send an earthquake. If God wants your attention, he'll send a flood. If God wants your attention, he'll send a storm if he wants to get your attention. He'll send a whale to swallow you if you're that vital. When folks say, how did I miss God? I know, I'm like you. I've asked myself that same question. Lord, how did I miss you? How did I miss God? But what I really understand is it wasn't so much that I missed God. What you missed was your own spirit. What you missed was your own human spirit. Part of the reason why David said, thy word have I hid in my heart is so that My own human spirit has been empowered. So now my own spirit, let alone the prompting of the Holy Ghost. I'm not saying that the Holy Ghost doesn't speak. I'm not saying the Holy Ghost doesn't communicate. I'm not saying that that's not the case. Matter of fact, when I sit down in a meeting with someone, I say, Lord, I'm inviting your spirit to be here. God, you said that you inhabit the praise of your people. God, you said where two or three of us are gathered together, there you are in the midst of us. But I'm telling you now, there's a whole lot of times when I've prayed that prayer and started to have a meeting with someone, and there was some great stuff that was going on, and I was ministering, and I was sharing and counseling, and then something changed, and I was like, whoa, the Holy Ghost done showed up in here. I almost hesitate to say this, but I'm here, so I'm gonna go on with it. Yeah, what was happening was the person is meeting with me, and they're having a meeting with me and my spirit. My in this body, 52 years, been in ministry, almost 40 years, spirit. Been preaching for 37, going on 38 years, spirit. That's who they're talking to. It's not just the Holy Ghost. Sometimes the Holy Ghost does step in and say, they lying. But there's also times when my own spirit says, that ain't right. Because my own spirit has been connected to the Holy Spirit, and my own spirit has been strengthened. So now my own spirit is able to communicate to me about things that aren't important enough for the Holy Ghost to communicate with me about. I wish I had a witness in the building. My God. Well, I give you an example. When my sister and I, when I went to Birmingham to hang out with one of my baby sisters, all of my siblings are younger than me. And so one of my sisters, I went there and we went to Montgomery, and we went to the National Museum of my God. We went to the lynching memorial. Lord Jesus, help us. If you're a person of color, you need to go. If you're a black person, you need to take yourself down to Alabama and see and learn something about our history for real. When we left it, we were deciding what to eat, and we went inside this Mexican place. I won't say the name of it. We went inside this Mexican place. I had a little bit of doubt about Mexican food in Alabama. Sorry, don't mean to be racist, but I wondered, could we get some real Mexican food in Alabama? We sat down. They were playing Mexican music. That helped a little bit. But then when I looked in the kitchen, something on the inside was like, this ain't gonna be no good Mexican food. We looked at each other. The spirit bore witness with our spirit that this is about to be some trash Mexican food. And so all of our spirits looked at one another, and we were like, well, we were tired. We had walked 5,000 steps, and we just stayed there. And yep, that Mexican food was trash. Do you think that the Holy Ghost cared about what kind of Mexican food we had? He did not care. That was our spirit that was saying, you need to get up out of here. This ain't gonna be no. When they brought the nachos out and there was lettuce on the nachos, I said, oh, my spirit said, oh, you about to die. My spirit said, no, yeah, I don't care, but you about to just get ready. You about to feed your body some trash Mexican food. What's my point? My point is that we have mistaken and had the Holy Ghost talking to us about Cheerios when really it was your own human spirit. And what you really missed was your own spirit. I want to take my few remaining minutes and the few remaining bits of my voice that I have this Sunday morning with these allergies. Help us, Holy Ghost. Thank God I don't have anything, but with the few minutes I have remaining, let me talk to you about how to strengthen the voice of your own spirit. How to strengthen the voice of your own spirit. It's hearing checks. I remember that in elementary school. They used to check your hearing. Anybody remember that? They put the earphones on you. And then you were supposed to lift your finger if you heard. And they were playing you different frequencies in different ears. And they would play high notes and low notes and soft notes and loud notes. And you were supposed to lift the finger if you heard. They were testing the sensitivity of your physical hearing. And I think that life, time, experience, death, challenge, difficulty, we get a chance to hear. We get a chance to find out, am I hearing from the Holy Ghost? Can the Holy Ghost communicate with my spirit? And can my spirit get to me? Lately, I've been asking myself, I've been asking not God, how did I miss you? But I've been asking, how did I miss the voice of my own spirit? I wish the room was full so I could get a witness. I wish I could see people waving at me. I wish I could get somebody to say, oh, PA, that's me. Oh, my Lord. I look back, and when I look back, I can realize that there was something. Maybe it's what Jeremiah meant when he said it's like fire shut up in my bones. Maybe it wasn't just the Holy Ghost. Maybe it was his own spirit. Maybe it was his own angst. Maybe it was the voice of his own. I know I'm not the only one. I've been there. In which someone has betrayed me, or someone has hurt me, or someone has lied to me, or someone has fooled me, especially people, or the situation wasn't what I thought it was going to be. And as I sit and get quiet, I can remember that there was something that was bothering me the whole time. My own spirit. I see, we want to call that the Holy Ghost, but see, I think if it's the Holy Ghost for real, then, and I'm not even saying that the Holy Ghost doesn't prompt, but very often the Holy Ghost is prompting your spirit to speak to you. The problem is that your own spirit, the voice is too quiet. Some of you don't barely hear anything from within until you come here. You barely hear anything from within until you in church. You barely hear anything from within. That means that you're not even really getting your engine running unless your jumper cables are connected. People have been writing and saying, PA, oh my God, I can't wait till we are back in the room. I miss the energy from the room. Beloved, I got you. I miss your energy too, because right now, all of the energy of this sermon has to come from me, but I have found out, you know what? I got a well. I got a power source that's bigger than your attendance. I found that out. I found out that if I look within, there is a power within me, And so now I'm asking myself, Lord, not just how did I miss God? Lord, not just how did I miss the Holy Spirit? Not just how did I miss the Holy Spirit? I'm not just saying, Lord, how did I miss you? I'm not just asking that question. I still am asking it, but I'm also asking, how did I, was my own spirit, was my own inner witness, my own discernment, my own knower, was there something in me trying to get my attention to say the deal wasn't right? Come on, PA, get to it. How do I strengthen the voice of my spirit? How to strengthen the voice of your own spirit? I see it when I look at Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 14. The verse says in verse 14, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. And so the beginning of it is, number one, how to strengthen the voice of your own spirit is responsiveness to leadership. Responsiveness to leadership. Those who are led by the Spirit of God doesn't necessarily mean you're only led by this direct connection to the Spirit. It means that you actually are responsive to leaders. In this conversation that I had, in some of these confrontational conversations that I'm having, it's challenging. Part of the reason why it's challenging is because anyone who really, really knows me knows that I'm not the most touchy-feely, warm, eat with you, at you, be your best friend person. So there's nothing personal involved in the confrontation. And the challenge of that is you just got to deal with the Holy Ghost. I said to someone, you feel this frustration? They said, yes. I said, you don't have enough of a personal relationship with me to frustrate me. You haven't done anything to me personally. You don't have enough interaction with me personally to frustrate me personally. And so what you now have to deal with is that maybe this is the Holy Ghost bearing witness with my spirit that you need to work on yourself. And now the question is, can you respond to leadership? Mental attention to one's spirit is taught. Mental attention to one's spirit is taught. You are never going to really be able to listen to the voice of your own inward witness if you can't listen to a man of God, if you can't listen to a woman of God, if you can't listen to a mentor, you can't respond to a leader. No wonder you can't listen to the voice of your own spirit. You couldn't listen to your mama. You've been rebellious since the age of two. And you now think that you're going to be able to easily submit and surrender to your spirit. It's not born, it's taught. That's why I'm teaching it. It's tough to listen to your own spirit when you can't follow a leader. Person that wrote me and said, well, I'm not going to be a part of any church right now. I shook my head like, wow, that's sad, because it's going to be very difficult for you to hear the voice of your own spirit, and you can't hear the voice of the Lord in the mouth of another. If you can't hear God speaking to you if the Holy Ghost through a man of God can't touch you, if the Holy Ghost through a prophet can't affect you, if the seed falls on path, if someone can't say something to you and you respond, there's no responsiveness to leadership. Some of us have to realize it's one of the reasons why we've been let down by leadership and why we've been abandoned by parents and why we've been hurt. It's because the enemy knows that if he can rob you of that trust, If he can make you think there ain't nobody right, nobody got a word, can't nobody say nothing to me, it's going to be very difficult for you to listen to your own spirit. You think that not responding to a leader is going to make you more sensitive to your own spirit, but you're wrong. You're never going to learn how to hear the Holy Spirit if you can't trust someone enough to teach you. Number two is based on verse 15, because in verse 15 he says the spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. So the second way to strengthen the voice of your own spirit is faith to accept adoption into God's family. Faith to accept adoption into God's family. It's why it says the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit, because it takes faith to accept adoption into the family of God. The spirit of sonship, the spirit of adoption, the challenge of adoption is that adoption requires faith. I know because I've adopted. I've adopted children and love them, and they still doubt, because adoption requires faith both ways. It requires faith from the child. It requires faith from the parent. When you adopt a child, you wonder, will they ever really love you as much as they love their own father, their own mother? Are they only calling you dad because their dad is a piece of crap? May have to edit that out. Are they only calling you dad because your dad is trash? Now, if they had it their way, they'd have their own dad, but their own dad's trash, so now they're going to call you dad because that's what works for them, but they don't really love you. It takes faith. That's why Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and it's not from yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. By grace through faith. Some of the toughest words ever spoken, by grace through faith. Part of the way that you strengthen your own voice, the voice of your inner man, is you have to remove the doubt by accepting adoption into the family of God. You have to say, I'm a child of God, and if I'm children and heirs of God, co-heirs with Jesus Christ, that I have to accept. I will consistently reject the voice of my own spirit if I do not accept the idea that I have now been adopted into the family of God. I wish I had a witness in the building. That's certainly what's happened to me. Most of the time, I doubt my own spirit because I'm so raggedy. I'm so in my flesh. I've failed so much. I know what my flesh is like. Half the time, I doubt the voice because I think it's my flesh. Half the time, I doubt the inward witness because my personality and who I am and my flesh and my mind. And so my mind rejects the voice of my spirit because my mind is more familiar with my flesh than it is with my spirit. And so my mind says, that ain't the Holy Ghost. That ain't your spirit speaking to you. That's just your fear. That's just your flesh. That's just your unforgiveness. That's just your worry. That's just your anger. And so now you become more aware of the flaw that you have as a human instead of your adoption into the family of God, not recognizing that the Holy Spirit himself is testifying with your spirit. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is empowering your spirit because you're a child of God. And all of that takes grace through faith, not of myself. It's a gift. This is one of the most great, this is one of the greatest challenges in the world. We talk a lot about grace, but grace is hard to accept. Because grace requires gratitude. And folk don't want to be grateful too long. I've actually had this as an experience where folks have no answer for why I'm doing what I'm doing for them. Some folk accept it by faith. Because by grace, they have been in this thing with me through faith. And if they don't have faith, they won't access it. I was having a conversation with one of my sons in the ministry, and we talked yesterday, and we talked for about 90 minutes. And he said to me in the beginning of the conversation, he said, you know, I've called you a couple times. I wasn't able to get through to you. And so I just figured you got a lot going on. You're busy. And I don't want to bother you. And I didn't want to keep going and going. And so, you know, I understand. And if you don't have time for me and it's too much. And I said, all right, can I just stop you right there? I said, listen to me. Let me tell you something. I have no reason to lie to you. I'm gonna tell you the truth. The house I live in, my basement, I'm down there a lot talking, counseling, shooting, baking cakes, and there's no reception in my basement. Meaning that if I'm in the basement and you call my phone, it doesn't even signify that you called me. I said, you have never called me, and I saw it, and I didn't call you back. It's never happened. If you call me, I will call. I said, you called me right now, and I answered on a Sunday. I'm tired. But see, what happened was you lost faith. And you're wondering, why would I talk to you anyway? Exactly. You're going to have to receive this thing by grace through faith. You'll have to have some faith in you. You have to have some faith in me because you're right. There is no reason. There's nothing you can give me. Only reason why you should even give me anything is because it will give you a bit more confidence because grace is hard to live by. Woo-hoo. It's one of the reasons why you should tithe. It's one of the reasons why you should give. You should tithe because grace is hard to live by. Grace through faith. Part of the reason why I sow, part of the reason why I tithe, part of the reason why I give, I'm about to take up an offering in a little bit. Part of the reason why I do that is because that gives me confidence. I'm like, oh no, I got seed in the ground. Oh no, I got skin in this game. Oh no. David said, Lord, if they kill me, who will praise you? Part of the reason why I praise is because, oh, no, I work too hard for the Lord. I'm flawed just like everybody watching. Part of the reason why I know the Lord is going to keep me alive is I'm worth too much. I know God. He going to kill as many Philistines as possible with Samson. He knows Samson ain't right, but he going to kill as many as he can. I'm saying, Lord, I'm killing way too many Philistines for you to let me get killed up in here. My confidence doesn't just come from grace. My confidence comes from my seed. I said to him, I said, son, I don't need any of your money. Just like God don't need your money, I don't need any of your money. I suggest that maybe, and I didn't even say this to him. I didn't even say it to him. It's not even worth saying it because he's already not calling. But what I'm saying to you this morning is one of the reasons why he don't call me is because he don't give nothing. So now he feels like I'm only answering by grace. You ever go to a gym you don't have a membership in? Back in the day, my boys would take me to play ball at some place that they had a membership and I don't. You ever been there where you stand there and you got your sneakers in a bag and you with your friend and they got to pull out a piece of paper and you all nervous and your boy's like, I can get you in, I can get you in. And you trying to, you hope and maybe somebody at the desk is just like, go on in. But you don't really know. You have no confidence. Whereas If they taking money out your thing, out your check, and you pay, you walk right in there. Let them try to stop you and say, you need your scanner thing. You be like, please look me up in the cabal. You know, when you pay, when you give, you have a whole nother level of confidence when you give. You have a whole nother level of attention when you give. Whole nother level of attention when you give. Whole nother level of confidence when you give. For by grace you've been saved through faith. The challenge of our relationship with God is that it's tough to believe he's this wonderful. To me, he is so wonderful. To me, it is so wonderful. He's almost too wonderful. It's almost too good to be true. Easter is in a couple of weeks. It's almost too good to be true. And when I think that God, his son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. I don't deserve it. But I accept it by faith. I got two more. I'm 3 minutes over. Just give me let me give you two more. The third way that you strengthen the voice of your own spirit is I'm calling sensitivity to the testimony of the Spirit. The Spirit himself testifies with our own spirit that we're children of God. Now, if we're children and heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. The Spirit is a witness and points out truth to our spirit. Part of the way that the voice of my own spirit gets loud is I get sensitive to the testimony of the Spirit. How do you get sensitive to the testimony of the Holy Spirit? You got to be in the Word. You got to be in service. You got to worship God. There are things that causes your mind to be more sensitive to a word from the Spirit and your spirit. In other words, the Spirit helps our own spirit to recognize truth. The truth is, we're children of God. So the Spirit himself testifies with our own spirit that we belong to God. Now your spirit is saying to your mind, you belong to God. But it takes sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, and it takes sensitivity to your spirit. And you get sensitive to your spirit by being around spiritual things. And then number four, and it's the toughest one. The fourth thing that gets us sensitive, the fourth thing that strengthens the voice of your own spirit is suffering, sacrifice, pain. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Then if indeed we are right with some suffering in order that we may share in the glory. There is no glory without suffering. And almost nothing makes you sensitive to spiritual sound like pain. I wish I had a witness in the building. Let somebody die, you hear all kinds of stuff from the Holy Ghost. Let you get sick, you hear all kinds of stuff from the Holy Ghost. Let disaster happen, you hear all kinds of things from the Holy Ghost. Let you lose your job and you trying to wonder where your bill gonna get paid from, you start hearing all kinds of things from the Holy Ghost. All of a sudden, your spirit speaks up. Turn your plate down and starve yourself for a little bit and suffer a little bit and see how the Holy Ghost won't talk to you. See how your own spirit won't get loud. Part of the reason why it's so hard for us to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and the voice of our own spirit is we don't sacrifice enough. I think I said it at the beginning of the service. I'm saying it here at the end. It's interesting what the Lord has done through COVID-19 to the church. We used to be worried about where the parking was. Not no more. We used to be asking what kind of stuff, what do they have? What do they, not no more. We're going to be so glad to serve him because the pain has made us sensitive. The quarantine, the locked in, the challenge of the saying the economy isn't going to, we're not going to face, most, a great deal of Americans won't recover economically till 2023. Know what that means? We're going to have some spiritual folk. That's what that means. We're going to have some folk who know, who are only making it because they pray. They're only making it because they got a word. They're only making it because they're in tune. They're only making it because they're listening to the voice of their own spirit. They refuse to let their own spirit be broken. They had to go downstairs and take a look at their own brittle human spirit. They found out through hardship, found out through pain, that their spirit wasn't as strong as they thought it was. They were taught in church to take the easy way out and just replace your spirit with the Holy Spirit and just focus on the Holy Spirit and just come to church and shout and dance in the Spirit and speak in tongues in the Spirit and everything will go, is going to work out. Sorry, that's not the case. At some point, this connection is going to have to empower your own spirit. Not enough to have the Holy Ghost. You're going to have to get the Holy Ghost to work on your own human spirit. And almost nothing does that like pain. I'm sad to say. Oh, I wish I had a witness in the building. Almost nothing. Some of the greatest steps I've made have been through my most painful moments. For all of you that are going through a painful moment, whoa, you may be weak in the flesh, but you are getting strong in the spirit. Folk who walk out of that cancer center and ring that bell, man, they're at a whole nother place internally. Physically, they may be weak. Every cancer survivor watching, physically, you may be weak. Your immune system may be slightly compromised, but you know you can make it. You know you can get through. I know in whom I've believed and I'm persuaded that he's able. How do you strengthen the voice of your own spirit? Pain. I would suggest that you allow a little pain in before it forces its way in. Ooh. I would suggest that it be all right for somebody to hurt your feelings a little bit. One of the things that's so interesting about this, me preaching to the room empty, is there's no room to lose. Back in the day, I might get heavy like this, and I feel y'all get quiet, and I start saying, oh, well, God is able, and just to get y'all back. But I don't care now. And so maybe your feelings got a little bit hurt. There's nothing wrong with that. Pain is not necessarily a bad thing if it makes you deeper. Some of us are shallow because we have never let any pain in. We have won way too much. I was telling somebody today, I played college basketball. I wasn't no great, great player. D3, played a couple years on the bench playing spot minutes. But I did play basketball in college. I got cut from the basketball team in the 7th grade. I got cut from the basketball team in the 8th grade. In the 9th grade, I broke my leg playing football. So I missed my freshman year. And my sophomore year, I still made it back to make JV and start. Because if you can't overcome pain, you'll never really be strong. Some of us have been on every team. They made too many teams. There was no A team and no B team and the C. I'd have made the C team. There was no C team. It was an A team. If you got cut, you got cut. And you cry. And you dig down. Without that pain, there's no inner strength. You may look at winners and think they've always won. You're wrong. Some of the greatest winners, some of the most successful people you've ever seen have had their heart broken. But God turned their midnight into day. That ability to suffer, that ability to sacrifice, strengthens the inner voice. Why don't we practice that right now? Let's give to the work of the kingdom of God. Let's give. The word says each person should give as they decided in their heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, because the Lord loves a cheerful giver. The word says that each man should give as he's decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. That means that out of cheerfulness, out of joy, out of hilarity, you should be like, oh my God, I'm giving. And I give you a number. I'm going to say you should give at least $50. But for many of you, that should just be a suggestion. For many of you, you've got to listen to the inward witness. It's an excellent opportunity for you to see, can you hear the voice of God and can you give? And I'm telling you, when you give, when God prompts you, says give 50, give 100, give $500, and you wrestle with it in your mind and you say, oh, okay, and you go ahead and listen to that voice and you write and you give to the work of the kingdom of God and miracles take place, you just strengthen the voice of your own inner spirit. Your own spirit saying, you know you've got it. Your own spirit is saying, you know you haven't given. Your own spirit is saying, you know you haven't tithed. Your tithe belongs to God, but this is an offering above and beyond. You can just text WOE online 77977. You give and it shall be given unto you again. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Okay, I'm not going to beg you. Let's pray. God, thank you for this opportunity that we have to give. Thank you for the vision and the plan that you have for us. Plans not to harm us. Plans to give us hope in the future. God, take this offering supernaturally. God, supernaturally. Somebody needs a miracle. Somebody's looking for a miracle. Somebody is expecting something powerful to happen. Somebody's got a business opportunity. Somebody's got a job interview. Somebody's trying to figure out how they're going to make it. Somebody, Lord God, has decided to venture out into their own business, God. Someone has gotten laid off and they need a miracle from you. And God, I pray. Then, Lord, there's a whole bunch of us that you've made a way. We're still employed. We're still making money. We're making more money than we've ever made. Lord, I thank you that you have now called us to give. Sacrifice. Use us for your glory. In Jesus' name. We all sit together. Amen. God bless you as you give. So glad you were with us today. I know I went a little bit over, but that's all right. It was good anyhow. Praise God for the Holy Spirit. Praise God for your own spirit. That your spirit is this candle that God is using. Searching the innermost parts of your belly, searching your inward spaces, looking down deep, making you face things that you wouldn't face without it. It's not just the Holy Spirit that does that, it's your spirit. The Word of God is living and active, it's sharper than a two-edged sword, and it's sharp enough to divide soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of your heart. So glad you were here today. Allow the word to judge your thoughts and attitudes. We want to see you again Wednesday night, next Sunday. See what God will say to us about what's next. Let's pray together. God, thank you for our time together. Thank you for these moments. In moments like these, we just want to tell you that we love you. In moments like these, we're reminded of how amazing you are, how great you are, how awesome you are, how faithful you are. Now, God, watch over your people. Make your face shine upon your people. Multiply your people 30, 60, 100 times. Multiply every opportunity. Multiply our faith. Multiply the folk who watch. Multiply the folk who give. Multiply every church. Oh, God. Bless your people. Make your face shine upon your people. Be gracious to your people. Favor on your people. Give us peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Till we're all able to come together again. In Jesus' name. We all sit together. Amen. See you next time.